Father, thank you. Thank you for the message you gave us in song, Lord, about the things that you would do while you were here on earth. But Father, we know that you're still here among us. We know that your Spirit, that we call it the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, we also call it the Spirit of Christ. And in that Spirit, Lord, you are dwelling among your people. And Father, as we remember that, as we're brought to memory of all those things, Lord, we remember more things that you promised you would do and you are doing as we look forward to that great day when all will be fulfilled. So, Lord, I just turn this time over to you. Let your Spirit speak through this old, old story, Father, that brings us new light every day that we contemplate it. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 8 and go all the way to verse 18. However, even though we're going to read the first 8 through 16, it's verses 17 and 18 that we're going to be concentrated, because next week I want to return to this, a fancy word is pericope, but that just means a text for next week. But right now we're going to concentrate. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now we're going to stop there, because you go on in the verse and it says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, etc. And like I said, we want to return to verses 8 through 16 next week. But right now, let us concentrate on 17 and 18. Let me read that to you again. And when they had seen it, these are the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it, not the shepherds, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, I will boldly proclaim, and I will state emphatically, that it is the duty of every Christian, of everyone who encounters the risen Christ, to tell others of the Jesus they have met. That's our job, folks. That's a command not from the government. That is a command from the King himself. We are to go and tell others. You see, the shepherds told everybody they encountered that night. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want us to jump ahead about 33 years to what the adult Christ told us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is a command to go and tell others. You can't teach, you can't go and teach without telling them about the Jesus that you know. And who is the Jesus that you know? Is it a made-up, secularized Jesus always remaining in a manger? Or if he's not in a manger, always just, you know, winking at you like a genie, all you got to do is pray and everything will be all right. Well, Jesus told us there are going to be trials and persecutions in this life, especially if we follow him. So that's the secularized Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. Or is it the prosperity Jesus? If you just give the preacher what that gospel pocket they're going around Facebook now, if you just put that in there, for me, everything will be all right. He's not that kind of Jesus either. Or he's not the man-made religious Jesus that you see down the road in several places, several different, quote, houses of worship that aren't houses of worship, but are houses of false teaching and false religion. He's not that kind of Jesus either. Because that's a man-made Jesus. That's a genie in a bottle. Or is it the biblical Jesus? The true Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Is it that Jesus? That is the Jesus that tells us to go and tell everyone we know, teaching everyone that will listen everything that he has commanded. And what is he commanded? What is it to do the will of God? And Jesus answered, to believe on him whom he has sent. That is, of course, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the biblical Jesus. We have to remember that this time of year. We are to tell others. And the first example of telling others about Jesus outside of the angels were the shepherds. The wise men came later. The shepherds, and when they had seen it, when they had saw the baby, they heard the angels. They saw the angels, they heard them, and they said, we got to go check this out. And they went. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They didn't just go here or go there or go to the local shepherd's bar or whatever. They made it known abroad. They told everybody that would hear. And all that heard what the shepherd says wondered, what in the world are they talking about? You know, after the angels departed, I wonder who got stuck with the sheep. Because they weren't going to leave their sheep alone. But the rest of them went and got to see the baby wrapped in a manger that the angels had said about. And I'm sure when they got back, they told this guy too, hey, we saw it, everything's true. But no, they went to this town. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little cracky here, so y'all forgive me. But it said, those men who did see the child made known abroad what they had experienced. Now you imagine a bunch of smelly sheep herders barreling through the night, through the town, talking about lights and angels and stars and songs and a baby. No wonder people were wondering about all these things. Now, I want you to imagine it. All right, you own the 7-Eleven in Bethlehem. You're up all night. I'm sure they didn't call it 7-Eleven, but you know, I'm sure there was something there. And all of a sudden you got, it never says how many, it's just the shepherd. It could be as many as little as two, or it could be as many as 50, who knows? But it's a bunch of shepherds. And man, they're falling all over themselves. And they see you and they run up to you and they say, hey, you got to listen to me. I got a story. And you're sitting there going, yeah, uh-huh. What you boys up to tonight? Notice how all these shepherds and rough guys, they got this weird southern accent, okay? Y'all just forgive me on that. But they said, man, we were sitting out there, we were taking care of the sheep, we were doing what we were supposed to, and this giant spotlight, this giant beam of light just came out of nowhere. And there was this angel. And we were scared to death, and the first thing this angel said is, fear not. And he said he had good news for us. And man, I can't believe it. You gotta believe me. This really happened. Sure it did. But you boys been dipping into the sheep dip again? No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And then the angel said, I bring you good news because this night in the city of David, this city right here, the city of Bethlehem, a Savior is born to us. Could it be the Messiah? The angel said it was. You know how long we've been waiting on a Messiah? You know how long we've been waiting on something like that? But I'm telling you, it came true. And all of them say, it wasn't just that one angel. He told us we could find him in this city, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Well, we know that's a cattle's trough, so we're going to where the cattle are. We checked out a couple, and we finally found them. And then when this angel, he disappeared, and all of a sudden the whole sky was filled with angels. You must have had your third dip of sheep dip then. I'm telling you. And they sang glory to God in the highest. Why would we see something like that? Why would we experience something like that and not tell you the truth? Not all of us are crazy that you may be thinking, but we found this baby. We found this one that the angel told us was a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the anointed of God. And He is born. And He's here. And the shopkeeper or the 7-Eleven attendant, whoever you want to decide he is, he probably just went, yeah, uh-huh. Have a good night, boys. I'm locking up now. And they went away. They still went away rejoicing because they had actually seen what angelic host had told them were there. God allowed shepherds to be some of the first to know common folk. Just like later on in life, He would choose fishermen among others. He told the common people. Y'all have heard all the stories before. Well, you know, God would have done better if He had came in a king's palace. You know, then all the people would... No, God did it His way at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. Because we all know when we hear something from the government, how much we really believe it. You know what I'm saying? So if it came down from there, there might have been some people that believed it, and many wouldn't. Remember, there had been false Christs many times before, and there would be many times after. But this one, this baby, is different. Because the angels, God's messengers, God's workers, had proclaimed the good news to these shepherds. You know, and about the time the star lit up, some old guys over in somewhere around Mesopotamia or someplace probably spotted that star, and that's when they began their journey, but that's a whole other story for a whole other time. But how would we react? Would we be like that imaginative 7-Eleven guy and tell people that told us the good news of Jesus? How would we react? Well, let's think about that for a second. God reveals in the hearts of His people the same news. A Savior was born, a Savior lived, a Savior died, a Savior was resurrected, and that Savior is coming again. We know that. The shepherds only knew of the birth. We know the rest of the story. We know a greater story. And greater, I mean in volume, not in importance, because it's all important. But what do? Well, preacher, that's what I pay you to do. Well, yes, that's part of it. That's what we got the evangelists that go around to the different disciples and hold the crusades. That's what they're supposed to do. I'm just supposed to live a good life and trust the Lord. Well, you're half right. But you see, there's so much more. There's so much more to the story, because the story is not just finding Jesus, it's having Jesus. It's having Him in our heart, that where we can celebrate not only Christmas every day, not only Resurrection Day every day, but everything that He has taught us and commanded us to teach others. Now folks, I got a lot to answer for when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some things I'm proud of in a human sense, and some things I'm not so proud of in a human sense. But one thing I tell you, and I'm not saying this in pride, I'm telling you because I have received and obeyed the call to tell others about Jesus Christ. Could I do a better job? Absolutely. But I know a lot of people sit on their haunches in churches all over this countryside today and all over the world today, while brothers and sisters are going and hiding in caves trying to tell others about Jesus, and their churches are being run over with bulldozers, and the people are getting their throats cut because they name the name of Jesus Christ and people in this country. Well, just let them do what they're going to do. As long as we don't bother them, they won't bother us. How stupid is that? Our job is to proclaim the Lord. Our job is to proclaim the faith that we claim we have. Brothers and sisters, I saw something this week that just... false gospel adherents proclaim their gospel more than true gospel adherents proclaim the truth. I saw an advertisement on Facebook. Y'all know that I get on a lot of preacher websites and stuff, and I'm part of SBC Baptist pastors, just, you know, comment boards. Well, they had a big advertisement for a seminary, and I use that term loosely, in St. Louis called Eden Theological Seminary. Look it up. It is one of the most vile and disgusting things you will ever see. The first thing it says, if you adhere to progressive Christianity. Now, what does progressive Christianity mean? It means what Jesus gave us isn't enough. It means that we have to progress with the times. Baloney. And all it was a bunch of men and women in the long robes and the multicolored stoles and holding up LGBTQ signs that says, you know, clergy supports whatever, trans rights, whatever. That's fine, but I'm telling you, that is not what the Word of God says. You're going to be judged, Christian, on how you live inside the kingdom. And if you don't believe what God's Word says, are you a Christian to begin with? My answer is no. If you don't believe what the Word of God says, or you believe that it should change with time, you don't believe what God revealed to the shepherds, to the disciples, to the multitudes, and to everyone that has believed on the Word of God in the name of the Son of God Most High. See, brothers and sisters, we are in a long line that starts with the shepherds. When the gospel was revealed, the birth of the Christ child was revealed, and they went and told. And that long line is full of everyday people. Martyrs, soldiers for God. And it's full. Some have gone on to glory. Some have been martyred for the cause. Some are still alive today proclaiming the everlasting gospel. And that is where we should be. Brothers and sisters, if you care about your loved ones, if you care about your community, if you care about this country, if you care about the world, you will tell the truth. Now, God does not call us all to be missionaries to go off to some foreign land. He does call us to be missionaries right here. Who remembers royal ambassadors? What was the motto of the royal ambassadors? It was taken out of, I believe it was 2 Corinthians, that says we are to be ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of the one that sent them. And if God has sent us, we are ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador relays the news or whatever it is that the one who sent them wants the people they are sent to hear. Go and teach all nations all that I have commanded you. Teaching them and baptizing them. That means upon their profession of faith, you baptize them as a symbol. The real baptism of the Holy Spirit happens when they believe. How do I know that? Because the thief on the cross wasn't dunked. But he believed. Now, we are to follow in obedience the command of our Lord and Savior to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when we baptize, that's what we do. But it is an outward sample. Could a person be baptized in water and still be a sinner? Absolutely. But if you're baptized through the Holy Spirit in your heart, and I'm not talking about speaking in tongues or anything like that, I'm talking about true faith, nothing can remove you from the hands of God. Read Romans 8 and you'll find that to be true. But it all begins with having the understanding and the ability to go and tell. Does this ring true to you? It does me. It's the greatest truth of all for those who seek God. We're not to hold God in a basket. Jesus even said, do you put a light under a bushel? Don't try that with a wicker basket because it will catch on fire. Don't ask me how I know that. An experiment in Bible school one time, okay? I'll leave it at that. But you set it in a lampstand or set it on a hill. You set it where people can see it and see the light and feel the warmth. We don't hide it. We don't say, okay, here's Jesus, stick it in our coat pocket. And we go around with our Jesus in our pocket, and that's all we got. We don't need anything else. Well, you're true halfway. That's all you need. But it's not meant to stay with you. It's meant to be spread across the whole world. Why? Because whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is the whosoever? Whosoever will believe. You tell them the truth. Now, it doesn't take a multi-degreed seminary graduate to understand this. In fact, if you will know anything about church history, you know that back in the days, they kept the Bibles chained to the pulpit. The common man was not allowed to have the Word of God. Why? Because he might get some dangerous ideas and not like what the priest and the king and all those guys are saying. And so some of the first martyrs we have in the English Bible were people that simply wanted us to have the Word of God. Where am I going with that? Because having the Word of God allows us to tell others what's in it. And how much glory God gives us when we simply share what He's done for us. Brothers and sisters, there's no other way but to go and tell. The shepherds didn't receive a direct order. The angel didn't say, all right, I want you to get up and go to Bethlehem. No, he just said, this is what's happening. And what's happening with us? We know Christ. Then we should tell others about Christ. We should spread it abroad. In fact, we should be called nuts and fools for the sake of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, that's only their opinion. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than the ruler of this world, because the ruler of this world is condemned. Those who love the world more than they love God are condemned. Well, that's not right. That's not fair. All right, one of these days you're going to get to stand before God, and why don't you tell Him that? Why don't you stand before a holy God and say, you're not fair, because many people will do it. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things that gets my goat more than anything else, is where you're trying to, in love, share with somebody, and they blame God for all the misery they have. Not taking any responsibility, not saying anything of the truth, not saying, I know what God said, but I did it my way, as Frank Sinatra used to sing. Actually, I like the Elvis version better of that, but that's another story completely. Some of y'all are smiling, some of you ain't. But what I'm telling you is, we have a goal for our Christian life until we get to be with Jesus. That is to share with others what God has done for us. The shepherds shared the news that the angels had given them. And like, again, I go back to those that share the false gospel. They share it boldly. You know, we have orders to proclaim the real truth of Jesus to all the world. You know, but sometimes we're afraid. We do not need to be afraid. What's the worst thing they can do to us? Kill us? Folks, I know where I'm going. I used to preach a sermon called The Gospel According to Obi-Wan Kenobi. Because in the very first Star Wars, the best one, by the way. No, best one's Empire Strikes Back. That's a whole other story. He told Darth Vader, if you strike me down, you will make me more powerful than you'll ever believe or you can conceive. When we are in the presence of God as Christians, now all that's just a bunch of hokum and a modern day fairy tale, but when we pass, we are with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And when we are with Him, we are the glorified children of God. And there is nothing the world, the flesh, and the devil can do to us anymore. In fact, we are the ones that are coming back with Christ, Revelation 19. And we will judge with Christ angels themselves. That's pretty good power. I'm not looking for it to be powerful. I'm just looking to be with the one who really loves me. You know, when you're in the presence of someone that really loves you, that really cares for you, that really gave everything they can for your benefit, that is a feeling that you cannot replace or duplicate under any circumstances. It is not wrong for us to want to go to be with the Lord. It's kind of wrong to hurry up the process, but it's not wrong for that desire. We desire, Paul himself said, whether it is better to be in the body or be with the Lord, it's hard to determine, but I'm paraphrasing. But as long as God's got me here, I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And what does He want us to do? To go and tell others about Him. and live a life accordingly. We can't tell others and go hang out at the nudist colony on Saturday afternoon, okay? That doesn't work. All right, you've got to live what you believe, because people, once you tell them, they're going to look at you. They're going to find everything they can about you that is wrong. Oh, you said a dirty word one time. Oh, you were selfish one time. How can you tell that? How can you preach that? I know you. Boy, that's rough and wrong family members. I know what you did when you were 7 years old. I know you put somebody's pigtails in ink one time. Boy, that's reaching way back. I know this one time when you were in band camp and you helped a bunch of guys throw one of the little boys outside the motel room when he didn't have no clothes on. I remember you. I know all that stuff you did. I'm making that up, by the way. Brothers and sisters, we are to be like the shepherds and go and tell. But you see, we got more to tell, as I alluded to earlier. The Holy Spirit has made known to us about this child who grew into sinless manhood, who taught us God's ways and will, who performed miracles, who confronted religious arrogance of his day, who suffered, bled, and died for those who would believe in him as the only begotten Son of God, who was crucified and buried according to all the ancient prophecies, who rose again to live again, who is still alive to this day, and who will return again to this world to judge the living and the dead. Shepherds didn't know that. The shepherds just knew that it was a Savior born to them. We have all this other that we know. So what is stopping us? Brothers and sisters, I have a challenge for this church, me included. Come January, I'm going to ride y'all like a $5 mule until we get people coming into this congregation. I'm going to bug you about talking to people. I'm going to pray that God will send the hounds of heaven after you until you get out and you share the gospel along with all those, until his house is filled with people who want to know the love of God. Folks, there are a lot of hurting people. And that's, according to a lot of research group, that is a lot of the reason a lot of folks don't even come to church, is because they've been hurt by people in the church in the past. It might have been 50 years ago. Those people could be long dead and buried. But yet they still are against God because that person claimed to be a Christian. That stops. We're going to be bold in the truth. We're going to go and tell all those that need to hear about Jesus Christ, the one born in Bethlehem, the one that was crucified outside of Jerusalem, and the one that was dead and buried, and the one that rose again and is coming again, and that he loves them. And then he wants them to know that he loves them. And we're going to be the hands and feet of Christ. And we're going to share. We're not going to have some $500 evangelism council or whatever. We're going to just share what God has done for us. Because man, he's done some great things for me. He's done some wonderful things for you. And I'm going to pray that God will have an angel hit you upside the head with a metaphorical 2x4 to show you the opportunities that he gives you at that moment. And I'm serious, folks. You know, we got to understand something. We ain't got much time left to share the good news. Y'all see what's going on out there. You know they're going to start cracking down on Christians. I bet you within 20 years they're going to start taxing the church properties and all that, and we won't even be able to afford a building. And they're going to arrest you for thinking about prayer, as they're already doing in some countries in Europe. You can't silently pray on a sidewalk. If you stop and you look like you're praying, they will arrest you. Though that had never happened, that was 50 years ago. A lot of other things they said would never happen is blatantly displayed over the media and in the city streets. It is our job to go and tell. We must do as the shepherds did and spread the good news abroad. We must do this enough so that those who hear it will wonder about us. They'll either think two things. What has that person got that I don't have? Or the others, why ain't that person in the loony bin? That's what they will think. But it's okay, folks. It's okay. Haven't they done Christians, real Christians like that, for thousands of years now? Are we any different? We're in a different time. We have different tools. We have different toys. Somebody was talking to me yesterday about when they were in elementary school, they were talking about math and how much they hated math, and he told the teacher, "Well, what are you gonna? Why do I need to know all this math stuff? You think I'm going to be running around with a calculator all the time?" Brothers and sisters, the world changes. But He changes not. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He may have been an infant in Bethlehem, but He was still God the Son. He may have been a condemned criminal in the eyes of man when He marched up Calvary's hill, but He's still Jesus the Lord. And oh, that morning when that stone was rolled away, and that girl and those women came to do the spices, and He was not there, and He showed up in the room with all the disciples except Thomas, and then later on Thomas, it's the same Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He does not change. Well, He has to change because the world changes. The world doesn't change. World's as evil as it ever was. Men's hearts are as dark and wicked as it ever was. They just have the new tools and toys, and they have mass media where they didn't have it back then. How many of y'all remember that play they had back in the 60s and 70s called Jesus Christ Superstar? Some of y'all remember that? Well, there's one line in that movie that Judas, of all people, is singing. And he said, "Why would he choose such a backward situation?" Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. That's part of the song. If it had no mass communication, how come within a generation or two generations it was all over the Roman world? Because God knew what He was doing. And God knows what He's doing. Does this ring true with us? You see, He tells us that we are to spread the news abroad. We must plant the seeds of truth and let the Lord grow them to fruition. As we mentioned earlier, the false gospels and the liars, they're planting seeds. The devil's planting seeds. We see this in the immorality that permeates government, academia, and society at large. We see this in false religions and the so-called progressive Christians who say the right thing but fall in line with the world. They try to claim our faith was not good enough and it has to grow with the times. They nullify what the Lord did for their own greed and their own lusts. That is not what we are to proclaim. We are to proclaim the truth that a Savior has been born and a Savior died for our sins. And a Savior rose again to give us eternal life. That is what we are to proclaim Christmas season and every season. Brothers and sisters, if we're to be fools, let us be fools for Christ. Well, when should we do this? Whenever the Spirit leads us to do so. I was kind of joking a minute ago when I said, you know, the Holy Spirit or an angel is going to hit you upside with a metaphorical 2x4. But you know, sometimes that's what it takes. You know, the Bible talks something about that. When it talks about when you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but you've got a beam in your eye. Kind of along the same lines. You know, sometimes a God that we serve taps us on the shoulder and gently reminds us. But in my life, sometimes He's hurled a brick back at me to get my attention. And folks, I'm not lying. Something will happen drastic that will push me into prayer. And oh, the glories and the blessings that we have for being obedient to Christ. Whether on a lonely hillside in Judea at night or in the bustling city streets of the day, we need to act when the Spirit says act. Speak when the Lord gives us opportunity. And praise God at all times. Now that doesn't mean that every word that comes out of our mouth, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, that's not bad. But I mean, there's other times. Praise the Lord, I need dinner. Praise the Lord, got to go get gas. Praise the Lord. You see where I'm going. But in our hearts and in our minds at all times, we're to be in a sense of prayer and praise to the God who loves us enough that He would die for us. And it started that night in that manger with those shepherds. Joseph was busy with Mary, and Mary wasn't in no condition. Those shepherds are the ones that went out. Those redneck cattlemen. You know, I love what Sarge said the other day when he talked about that was the closest thing to cowboys they had. Well, in that area of the country, that was right. I'm sure they had some cattle somewhere, but mainly it was sheep and goats and things like that. And these were the rough riders. These were the guys that were out there and they had on old, what we would call burlap. I don't know what they called it back then. But the old linen and it stank of sheep and stank of manure and stank of everything. And these guys were the guys running through the town saying the Savior was born. In our human eyes, we'd say, no wonder people didn't listen to him. Oh, but people did listen to him. Remember Simeon? About 8 days from then. Anna? Other people? Even when Jesus was 12 years old, he was arguing with the preachers in the temple. And they were like, where did this boy get this knowledge? Dude, he wrote the book. It's amazing to me. So all I can do as I wrap up is tell you this. Let us take the example of the shepherds and all others who risk who and what they are to tell the true gospel to all who will hear it. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. Let us tend to the sheep God has given us. Folks, y'all know that as the under-shepherd, the pastor, that's what pastor means, the under-shepherd, I am responsible for you before God Almighty. That is why, y'all may not tell it because I crack jokes and I do all kind of other stuff, but I get up here to proclaim the Word of God in fear and trembling, not because I'm afraid I'm going to offend you, but I'm afraid that I might, in my human frailty, make a mistake with the Word of God. And I'm responsible for that. But I'm responsible for what I tell you and for how you receive it. Now, you're responsible on your own for yourself. Don't misunderstand me. You ain't getting into heaven just because Pastor Charlie told you you could. You're getting into heaven because the blood of Christ covers you in faith. And by you believing on Him whom He has sent. Are you going to do that today? And if you do believe, are you going to tell someone? Now folks, I'm not saying go down on the street corner and start throwing Bibles at people. There are some ministries that do that, and God bless them, they bring some into the fold. But what I ask you to do is always be attentive to the moment. And if God puts on your heart, act like it. Obey that calling, that push from the Lord. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, since today's a football day, you know they got this play called the tush push. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Where they go up on the line, it's like fourth and one, and the quarterback runs, and the people behind him put their shoulder into his hindquarters and push him over the line. Folks, we got something better than a fullback behind us. We got the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says, talk to this man, He's going to give you the words to say. When He tells you, talk to this woman, He's going to give you the opportunity to get it in there. Take it. Well, I don't want them to be mad at me. Are you going to stand before them for eternity? No, you're not. If you're blessed, they're going to be with you. You plant the seed. And if that seed is grown by God, they will come back to you. Tell me more about this, what you was talking about. At first, they may act all angry or whatever. You know, I've gone down to the whistle stop and JJ's a couple times over the last couple years, and I've sat and tried to talk to a few people. Some people were receptive. Some people said, hey, I already go to a church. One guy told me, hey, I'm Mormon. I said, well, you deserve the truth too. And one guy just got mad as a hat with me. It's okay. That's okay. If he gets mad, he's not mad at me. If I bought him a cup of coffee, he'd be happy. It's Christ who he has the problems with. But he also needs to know that that problem is not a problem with Jesus. It's a problem with someone human that did something to you. Christ loves you. He did something for you. That's the message. We are to go and to tell. So let us tend the sheep that God has given us. But let us be prepared to go and see what the Lord has prepared for us at all times. At all times. God bless you all. And may God give you every opportunity to serve Him in great and mighty ways. Praise Him. As the praise team prepares, I just want one more time to emphasize how much Christ really loves you. Human beings are fallible creatures. We can mean the best intentions at all times, and we'll still mess it up when given the opportunity. But when God gives us the opportunity, He will give us the way and the will, the tools and the talents to carry out what He wants us to do. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus salvifically, you can know Him in your head, you can know Him in your heart, but you know what? If you don't believe on what He has said is true, it ain't going to do you any good. There are a lot of people that know of Jesus, but the Bible tells us the path is narrow for those that know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, all you got to do is call on Him in faith. And when you call on Him in faith, He will answer. Some people have a mountaintop experience. Some people have the little still small voice. But either way, it's the Lord. And if He's calling you to repentance and faith, act on it. Obey it. Come down and profess your newfound faith, if you truly believe. And if you already believe, but man, there's been stuff going on in my life. I've got so-and-so treating me bad. I lost my job. I lost my car. My donkey blew up in the backyard. Whatever it may be. You get enough TNT, that can happen. I almost said goat and was going to do a Barney Fife joke. How many remember the goat eating the dynamite? Well, that's another story. Some of you young people are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Brothers and sisters, God's not moved. He's still there in the same place He's always been. In fact, He is not only there, He is reaching for you. He is opening His arms to you to come home, to come to Him. What's stopping you? If that barrier, if you're in the right relationship with Him and you love Him, God bless you. Use it to bring others into His house. But if it's not, come and believe in Him. If you need a church family to join and to feel loved, although I'm going to tell you, Calvary ain't perfect, but I'm going to tell you what, it's getting pretty close. Because I honestly, and I'm not blowing sunshine in years, this is a loving congregation. This is a congregation that wants to know the truth of the gospel. If y'all don't come on Sunday nights, when we're studying the Old Testament, tonight will be the last time we have before we have our Christmas break, because next week is Christmas Eve, and then we're going to have a New Year's Eve service, and then we'll start back again. But we have a good time. We laugh. We ask questions. We do silly things. But we study the Word of God. Brother Jeff's Wednesday night, they study prophecy about what's happening and what's going to happen. And I believe that is a good ministry. I keep you under tight wraps, though. You right, brother? All right. That's just a joke between me and him. Brothers and sisters, if you're looking for a church home, I invite you. We can't be who we are without you. There are loving people here. And there are loving people that here that aren't members. But I want them to understand, if you want to be a member, now being a member of a church don't get you into heaven. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? Knowing Jesus gets you into heaven. But you need a family who will love you and support you and help you along life's narrow way, as the hymn says. Take this opportunity to ask God if this is where God wants you to be. So folks, I've covered all the bases. The unsaved, you need to come to Jesus. The saved but having problems, you need to come back to Jesus. And then if you need a church home, come on up. Because folks, we love you. Jesus loves you. Now let's go and tell those that need to hear that a Savior has been born.